occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
And now please join me in prayer. Father God, I just pray that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts, Lord, your people, be acceptable to you. Help us to pay attention to what you have for us this afternoon. For we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Last week, we were covering about fasting and prayer, and fasting always, always has to go with prayer. I say fasting without prayer is dieting, right? Anybody can go dieting. But fasting with prayer, it makes a lot of difference. And today I'm going to touch on fasting in prayer, but now I'm touching on fasting in worship. How do we fast during worship time? Acts of the Apostles, beginning that time, the people sell all their properties and they get together and they have meal, the agape meal together. But why is this topic of fasting in worship? Because the people need to seek God for certain direction, and they fasted and they prayed, extended fasting and prayed. I remember my family and I, when we went to Taiwan some years ago, on the day that they sent us off, or the Sunday before, and Bishop Kwan then was, Bishop Kwan, yeah. He was there in St. John's Chapel, and the week that he sent us off, he intended to have a celebration, and there was buffet lunch and everything, but I feel very, very uneasy. Memories can Kangku, very, very difficult. And I told him, actually, we should be fasting for me rather than celebration of feasting, and after that, we go off for how many years. But in the end, there was still a buffet for us to send us off to Taiwan. It was 6 years, very fast 6 years passed, and the church was planted there, and the local people are taking over. And this is exactly what happened when Saul and Barnabas were sent off. The church fasted. They really pray and fasted. And then God set aside them. There's two instances that I want to share with you. Fasting in worship in the Bible. Right? The Bible teaches us there are a group of people who fasted, especially when during worship and praise time. Turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 36 to 38. Luke, chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. This is about the prophetess Anna, who fasted and prayed. Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. Verse 37, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart, right? She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And verse 38, and coming up at the very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Verse 37, then as a widow, Anna fasted. She did not depart from the temple. After she becomes a widow, she did not depart from the temple, but she stayed in the temple. It is said that the temple had many small little rooms or cubicle where people can stay. And Anna was one of them. The prophetess was one of them. She's a prophetess. She stayed there. And day and night, right? Day and night, whenever there's a service, whenever there's a worship time, Anna, the prophetess, will be there. She did not depart from the place. That means she did not get out of the temple, but remain in the temple until she died. And not only remain in the temple, she from the temple worshiping with fasting, prayer day and night. Extended fasting, extended prayer night and day. This precious woman, after the husband died, she remained in the temple serving the Lord. She doesn't conduct a service. She's not one of the priests. No, when there is a service going on, when there's a worship going on, you will find her there worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. The fasting could be during the time of the worship. So it wouldn't be every day in a sense. But when there's worship, she would be there. She did not depart. And this is one of the example of fasting in prayer, fasting in worship. The second one is what we read this afternoon, Acts chapter 13 and verses 1 to 4. Right? Verse 1 says, "Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, of a lifelong friend of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them.' Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and there they preached the word of God. Saul and Barnabas were sent not with a celebration of feast, but with prayer and with fasting. And then when they seek the Lord showed them who He's willing, who He has chosen to go out for mission." Another portion of the Bible, Acts 14, verse 23 says, "And when they have appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So fasting and prayer always goes together. And here this afternoon we have fasting in worship. How is this being practiced? But in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, towards the end, it says that people sell their goods and they come together, they eat, they feast, and then they worship. But here is fasting in worship. During worship time, the people fasted. The church in Antioch was really a God-seeking church. They really seek God for every matters that happen. They seek God. And I pray that our Saturday service, our Saturday congregation will be that. A congregation that really seek after God's heart. A congregation that is really God-seeking. Not pastor, not anything, but God-seeking. We are during our staff meeting, we are doing this book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Church. And there are many things that we go through. And praying that as we learn from Rick Warren, Saddleback Church, that we can learn something, not to imitate. No, we cannot imitate another church. But God may have something for our Saturday service. So we need to understand what is it. And not really, when we are serious with God, is to get rid of our physical self, that we fast, that God will appear. So the church at Antioch was really a God-seeking church, and we can learn from that. They knew something, right? The people there, they knew the power of extended fasting and prevailing prayer in worship. During worship time, they fasted, they continued to fast, and then prevailing prayer, not only worship singing songs, but there were fasting people. The whole congregation, not only the pastor, not only the leaders, but the whole congregation were fasting and prevailing prayer. That means extensive, intensive prayer to seek the Lord in their worship. Every matter of the church depends much on fasting, prayer, and worship. That's how the church of Antioch grew, and that's how the church of God used the church of Antioch to really be the source of strength to many churches. Every matter of the church, whether it's finance, whether it's whatever it is, it depends much on not only on prayer and worship, but fasting. And last week I shared about fasting, that it is to get rid of our physical desire, that we will desire for God. So we need to go into a time of prayer and go into a time of fasting before the Lord. Paul and Barnabas were sent with extended fasting, prevailing prayer and worship. They did not just send, we need to go to this country, we need to send out missionaries, let's call for a committee meeting, let's call for the finance board, let's call for the mission board, whether we have enough of money to send people out, whether who are the people. No. In the church of Antioch, Paul and Barnabas were sent not because they discussed in the committee. Once you discuss in the committee, it will last months and months before approval is given. There's something that I learned from Bishop Kwan is sometimes it is easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. You ask permission, no. So you do it. Oops, sorry, I didn't realize that it's wrong. Right? But don't do that, okay? The church I'm telling is really, Paul and Barnabas, they were sent out with extended prayer. That means fasting, they must have fasted very long and then requested. Paul and Barnabas' ministry required a substantial dependence on God. And the Antioch church extended fasting and prevailing prayer and worship demonstrated that dependence. They depend on God, and they went through a time of fasting and prayer and worship. It demonstrated that dependence. That dependence is really what they did. Prayer, fasting, worship. And then the Lord spoke to them. The church of Antioch, the church at Antioch, as a part of the congregation's worship to the Lord, they extended their fast. Normal people do their fasting by themselves, but their fasting goes into the worship as the congregation, as the whole church fast. They fasted because they sense a need to seek God in a special way. Need direction. There's urgent need. They need direction. They seek God in heaven. And God answered their prayer. This is how God moves. Right? In Isaiah, it tells us God is looking for someone to stand in the gap to pray. And he found none. So in this case, it's like, this is how God works. Because God sees the sincerity of the church of Antioch. They prayed, they fasted, and God moved. And God told them who to send and who, when to go and what to do. The Lord revealed his plans because of the unity of the church. Not only the leaders, but the whole congregation. The whole church agreed with what was done, fasting and prayer. The leaders and the congregation were united in prolonged fasting, deep prevailing prayer, and worship. It reminds me of what Psalm 133, verse 1 to verse 3 says. All right? Let's look at Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. The psalmist says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil, perfume, precious oil on the head of Aaron, from the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on his collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, the fresh dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing, life forevermore." So this is what the church of Antioch experienced. They were united together, do whatever, they were united together. Fast, they fasted together. Prayer, they prayed together. Coming together, they come together. And that's the beautiful, the unity is there. It says that it's like the beard on, the precious oil, the flow on Aaron's head to his beard, and then to running down to his collar. And then it's like a fresh dew. Psalm 133 verse 1, the priest, precious oil on the head of Aaron running down. It's the leaders, the step. First is the anointed people, the priests, and then the leaders, and then the whole church. So when brothers dwell in unity, there's no argument about it. This is the way we should go. This is the way that we go. They go ahead. For our Saturday service, we have been in our pastoral meeting, we have discussed a lot of things. We prayed. Even for the family camp that passed, it's really seeking the Lord for a couple to do our children's ministry, and God answered that. And even the team of Wait, Refresh, and Empowered, it takes us 2 weeks to really to seek the Lord as a team, as a pastoral team, to be united, that we know there's a camp, we want to have a camp. What are the team? And we prayed, and the Lord gave us this. And after the camp, everybody is so much blessed by the waiting, refreshed, and empowered. Trust me, Sir Pastor, that our team pray together each time when we meet. Pray for you guys. If there's a need prayer, we'll pray. There's changes to become. There will be changes like my pastoral letter after the camp. God is creating a wave. We are the surfers. We just tag along with the wave. And this is the time when God raised up certain wave. We must only look out for it. And then once we realize the wave is coming, don't let the wave come already. Then we go in. It's too late. When the wave is about to come, rising up, we use a surfboard, go there and surf, and then go along with God. People are afraid of changes, right? The purpose-driven church say that there are people who are afraid of changes and not willing to change. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. That's how I done it. It's like that, like that, like that. And you'll see many changes, not because we like changes, because the Lord is leading us to another phase of the Saturday service life. So in this case, there were unity in the church of Antioch. The Lord revealed his plan because of the unity of the church, the people, from the leaders until everyone, united in their fasting and prayer. There isn't a call for a committee meeting. Okay, shall we send this person out? Or discuss, or planning session, or know whether we have enough of money or not. Let's discuss who is the best person to go. But let us discuss and let us approach a financial board department, see whether we have enough money to set aside to go for mission, to send people out. Antioch, Church of Antioch is a standing church. When we went to Taiwan, it wasn't under the jurisdiction of the diocese, so we went on our own, first years on our own. And later we went under OMF, Overseas Mission Fellowship. It's a tough time. We have to raise our own fund. St. John's Chapel did support us a certain amount, but the rest we have to find financial support. If the Church of St. John's Chapel do not bold enough to send us there, there will not be a church in Taiwan today. The church that, not that we planted, but the church that God used us to plant it. And then because of that, the church is growing. Local people are taking, and there were many baptisms in this Jia Chen Jiao Hui, a little church. And we do a lot of ministry, like night market ministry. We do everything, even foster children, everything that we anything that able to help us to share the gospel, we do it. Right. So if St. John's Chapel at that time were to hold back, oh, not enough, wait. That time waited a year before the Lord convict everybody to let us go. But here, no. There isn't such thing as, let's call for a committee meeting, let's wait for the PCC to decide, let's wait for finance board to decide, let's wait for the senior pastor to decide whether this person should go. No. All they did was fast and pray. United in fast and prayer, there isn't a survey form. Okay, I'm going to give you out a survey form. Please survey who is the best person you think that can send out for missionary, and then return the survey form back here again next week. You can never find the survey form. Wait for another week and wait and wait. How many people died without the Lord? Right? There is a task. The Church of Antioch realized there's a task. They came together to worship, and then to fast, to get rid of their physical desire and to spend time really praying and seeking the Lord. Because of their extended fasting and prevailing prayer, God spoke to them. There isn't any committee meeting. There isn't any finance board. There isn't any choosing of who to go. God spoke to them directly. How he did it, the Bible did not say. But God spoke to them. It could be prophecy. It could be the word from the Lord. But during that fasting and prayer, God revealed who is supposed to go and how are they go, where are they supposed to go. And then because of the extended fasting and prevailing prayer, God spoke the who, the why, and the how. Who to go? Chapter 13, verse 2. Barnabas and Saul, they are one among of the church leaders, right? They are among one of them. In verse 1, there were church and Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, Lucius, Menahem, and others. And God chose, these are the leaders. God took two of them. So when they fast and pray, seeking the Lord, God says, Barnabas and Paul. The next thing is, why? Why must they go? Chapter 13, verse 5, to proclaim the word of God. How? Who to go? Barnabas and Saul. Why go? Is to proclaim the word of God, verse 5. How? God says, set aside for me first. Set aside these two persons for me and I will lead. And because of that, from verse 6 onwards, you read what happened. Missionaries, what happened to the church and how many people come to know the Lord. So this is what we do, and we really pray that our Saturday service will be a Saturday service that is really seeking God's will, not our own, not the Pastor Freddy's will of this staff meeting, whatever it is. It's really searching. Be confident of this, that whatever we do, we pray, we really pray, and asking God for direction. And God has been so faithful to us, leading us. If you really notice that our congregation have been very, attendance has been going up and up, it's because of prayer. When we meet together, we pray that the Lord's will be done. Anything that He wants to change, He will speak to us. Speak to the service pastor, to the leaders, to the pastoral staff. Then we go to the leaders and then go down. And then the whole church will be excited. We live, we come to worship. It's not for our own to enjoy the worship. Wow, beautiful. Charmaine led very well. Whatever. No, it's more than that. It's hearing from God what He wants for the church. And this can be done when we spend more time with the Lord, to be so close to Him and to hear His word. How many, right, I'm going to ask, in closing, just ask this couple of questions. Our response to the passage being read. Why are many Christians often defeated? Why are there many Christians defeated? Why do most Christians see so few brought out of darkness into his light, into the church? Why are our churches simply not on fire for God? Not enough. Saturday service, not enough. We need to be more fire. Why are many Christians often defeated? The answer, I think, is because they pray and fast so little. Not condemning, but really not enough. Why do most Christians see so few people brought into God's kingdom? The reason is because they pray and fast so little. And why our churches or why our congregation not on fire enough for the Lord? Because there's so little prayer and fasting in our churches, in our congregation. Not to put pressure on us, but really, when we seek the Lord earnestly, like the church in Antioch, fast and pray. Fasting comes with prayer. What more? Worship. Worship is a very powerful, vibrant time when the presence of the Lord is real. What more if we come with a heart of humbleness to fast before the Lord? Say, Lord, what you want us to do as individuals and what you want the whole Saturday service to do? Tell us, and He will reveal. He will reveal like what He revealed in the church of Antioch to send Barnabas and Saul aside. The Lord Jesus is as powerful today as you ever before, for He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is forever extending His hands to reach out to us. Jesus is as anxious for men to be saved as before. The arm of Jesus is not shortened that He cannot save, but He cannot stretch forth His arm unless we fast and pray more. A lot more. May we be assured of this, that the secret of all failure is our failure to engage in fasting and praying. This book is from The Kneeling Christian. I happened to bump into this book, saw this book just last week at a cafe there, and I thought it's quite an interesting title, The Kneeling Christian. I bought it. When I read the first page itself, the Lord really spoke so much thing, how much I, as a service pastor, have failed in prayer. Even my prayer becomes selfish. So what happened? Really, God is willing to reach out. After failure, the secret of all failure is our failure to engage in fasting and praying. And why do this pastor keep on talking fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer? Because there is a need to do it. There's a need to get rid of our physical and to involve. As I shared last week, there's three kinds of fast. I want just want to repeat in case you are not here last Saturday. The first is the Daniel fast, which is just purely vegetable and water. When Daniel and his three friends, they were being captive, and the king offered them their food. They said, no, give us 10 days to eat vegetables and water. And the second fast is partial fast, we call it. That means you fast, no food, but you drink. In the case of Jesus, I believe, because after 40 days, He was hungry. The devil came and tempted Him and tell Him to turn the rocks, stone into bread. He wasn't thirsty. He was hungry. So this partial fast is you don't take food, but you take water. And the complete, total fast is totally no food, no drinks, nothing. And usually it lasts the most longest is just 3 days. After 3 days, our body will be dehydrated and we will suffer kidney failure and everything. Unless the Lord give you strength to do it even furthermore. So Daniel fast, partial fast, and complete fast. How to do it? I'm working, Pastor. Pastor Fred, I'm working. How to do it? Skip a meal. I'm sure you can skip a meal. But at mealtime, go somewhere, go into the washroom or go somewhere and pray. And let the Lord lead. And then He'll go step by step, step by step. And then you'll be truly something that God wants you to do, individual and as a corporate body of Christ. And my heart's desire, I believe it's the Lord's desire, is to see that all of us practice fasting. But brothers and sisters, let us awaken. The devil is blinding our eyes. He's endeavoring to prevent us from facing the question on fasting and prayer. He doesn't want us to fast because he knows that when we're fasting, our spirit and God's spirit is so close, it can be done. Anything that we are more sensitive to the Lord's guidance. And I encourage you to really to at least spend a month, twice or whatever it is, to do it, leave it aside to fast and prayer. The first time of fasting and prayer usually starts with cleansing of ourselves, purifying of self. And that's why I thought that it would be good to for us as a church to encourage all of us to have a Saturday service day of extended fasting and prevailing prayer. Okay, this is on the 21st of July, another 3 weeks more, 21st of July. CNS from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Just now that slide was from 8 to 2. But I want to extend it from 7 in the morning. You can have your breakfast. And after that, you come together to start praying. Skip lunch, skip tea break, skip a meal until our service is over. Then we can have our refreshment. But this is not to punish ourselves, not to become so hungry and gloomy, and not to twist God's hand, but it's just a time as a church, as a family, a congregation, let's come and seek the Lord for Him, what He has for this Saturday service. So 21st of July, sorry, salt leaders, I typed error in my WhatsApp at 7. So 21st of July, CNS, we worship here from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can have your breakfast, and after that you come, skip the meal, pray throughout. There will slot how to pray and how to do it. We are working on it. So I want to encourage you, this is an opportunity for you to be like the Church of Antioch, coming together to fast and pray in the worship. I'm going to have worship time together, prayer together, and be encouraged, be really, really know that God is going to do something in our life and then in the church as a whole, as a congregation. And I believe God desire and He will work something beautiful in our lives, in our family, and in the whole church. This period of fasting, we will receive a lot of attacks from the evil one, try to dissuade us from fasting. You hypocrite, you want to fast? You're fasting, do you pray? You're fasting, you still think of food to eat. So all thoughts will come into our mind. Put it aside. Fast and pray and see the strength of the Lord comes upon your family, yourself, and the church. The church of Antioch prayed and God showed them. Send Barnabas and Saul to proclaim the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we know that we pray, but we pray so little. And at times our prayer is so inward-looking, Lord. And Father, we do fast, but our fast is so minute. Lord, I pray that you teach us what it means to set aside time for you to fast and to pray. Not that we're going to punish ourselves, but to eagerly wait upon you, to seek you. And we believe, God, you're going to show us great and mighty things. Lord, let this congregation be like the church in Antioch, a God-seeking church, a God-seeking congregation, that all of us will seek you earnestly and even spend time in prayer and fasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.